Coming up on TMS, we hold these Twinkies to be self-evident.
I'm bringing my own damn popcorn.
Stirring up shit with Amy.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Rich Asian.
You ever see Combos?
Would it hurt you to invite Wendy to lousy Las Vegas?
Stay up all night to watch Loki.
He's more vaccine than man.
The Viva still works.
You need Star Wars to get drunk.
Wearing pants is hard.
Nothing leads into Moon Knight.
It's the use of voodoo crap that makes it taste good.
Totally true. She's my damn sister.
Attaining perfection.
Getting formal with Wendy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Andrew retreated deeper than ever into the distorted world in his mind, where now he wanted to kill his stepfather. He could not carry out this act of murder in reality, so he set out to do it by magic.
Hi, I'm a loser. The Morning Stream.
Say one word about this hat, and I'm out of here. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Moan and Scream. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. And it's Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Brian, how are you today? What's going on over there?
The Moan and Scream. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fine. I didn't sleep great, but it's because I had a weird dream. And I'd like to share that dream. I looked at the cards. There's nothing that compares. So once again, those cards aren't going to help me.
I bet you're looking too specific, but let's talk about your dream and then let's...
Yeah, there might be a generalization in there.
Let's take some few steps back on what you were looking for on the cards.
Yeah, entirely possible. So you know that Twinkie I've got that's like 10 years old and still
looks as fresh as the day Hostess pooped it out of their machine?
Yeah, which is a very, it's a very odd thing that it even exists, but there it is. And so I've got that thing. And I haven't looked at it in a while, but we did talk about it the other day. So this is probably why it came up. But last night, in my dream, that Twinkie, the petrified Twinkie, came to me in the night and read the Declaration of Independence to me. verbatim, like right out of the document. And kind of just sat up and read it. I don't remember in the dream if he had it in front of him or if he just read it by heart. I think by heart is what happened there.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was really weird. And then afterwards, we celebrated the reading by having something called mushroom tea, which I don't think exists. Maybe it exists. I don't actually know. But
I read your notes as, because you described this, and then the second line you put, after we had mushroom tea, I'm like, so you had some mushroom tea last night and then had this dream. That makes sense. But no, now it's back to not making sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So that tea was in the dream. And so I did trace my evening back to think about what I ate or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you have
more Chex Mix? Was it too much Chex Mix?
In fact, I didn't have anything since around 6. And that was, what did we even have for dinner? Oh, Kim made some kind of homemade curry thing.
Ooh.
It was good. And it had chicken in it. So it's all I know is that I ate that, and unless Kim poisoned me. And her and Carter didn't have any weird dreams, and they ate it. So Carter had a vegetarian version of it, of course. So I don't want to besmirch her vegetarianism here on the show, but
sure, of course.
But anyway, course. I don't know what to make of that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, I don't dream that often. Very rare do I have dreams. And, lately, I think if I've had one, it's just been MASH, because I'm usually watching an episode or two right before bed.
Right.
And did you ever once even offer me to come in for a lousy cup of coffee?
That episode.
Like to walk by your tent and hear you guys laughing.
That was the episode where they were really trying to humanize Margaret. Like, you just had
they really,
to do it.
They did a good job. It's just, I won't get that speech right verbatim, but I'll never forget that damn speech.
Yeah.
But, so I don't remember my dreams that often. But the dreams you have, holy crap, that they're whacked out.
Yeah, they're really effed. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, it's not like I woke up in a cold sweat going, the Twinkie, the Declaration of Independence. Like, it didn't freak me out or anything, but it did make me wake up and go, what the hell? Why? Why can't it be, I don't know, I'm in Fiji with the blue water and the beautiful sights and the warm weather. Or why can't it be something else? Why can't it be a bunch of beautiful ladies on a pile of money. Like, why can't it be fun things that everybody else?
Why can't you get one of those dreams? Yeah, I don't know.
Instead, it's a damn petrified Twinkie I've had for 12 years reading me a historical document. It doesn't make sense.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and the vividness of me, someone just said in the chat, the vividness as to which he remembers them. Who is it, Zoe? No, Rainbow Bright. Yeah, that's the other thing, is I can't shake it. Like,
yeah,
there are times where a cool dream will happen, and if I don't think or write it down or something, like if I had a, I don't know, a comic idea or something, those will be fleeting and go away.
And I think you have to be trained on that, or you train yourself on that, right? Like, it is the instant recall of the dream. If you wake up and say, oh, that was a weird dream, I remember it perfectly, and then you don't train yourself to remember it, then you won't, you know, get in the habit of doing that, and it'll just like right out of your head.
Yeah. But, just dumps right out.
Yeah.
So lame. But look, so lame. That pales in comparison to this. All right, Brian.
AMC theaters can bite my shiny metal ass.
Uh-oh. Hours. Yesterday you were on there during the show. I'm guessing it didn't go well after that.
During the show, like, so tickets went on sale at 8 o'clock here? No, 9 o'clock here. Is that right? No, because it was, I'd been trying for a while before, I think it was 8 o'clock here, 9 o'clock Central Time. Tickets went on sale for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And so I'd been trying for really about half an hour before the show started. I kept a little window up and really, you know, I got in this habit of just going, select the show time. Here's two seats. I don't even, at one point I was just clicking on any pair of seats in the effing theater because I thought, all right, well maybe it's somebody's selecting the same seats. I'm just going to keep, you know, just like friggin' throw darts around until I get one.
Yeah.
And, after 4 hours of having this window open, I was able to work. I was able to do other things while I was doing it. I mean, you I asked you afterwards and you're like, oh, you were still doing that during the show? I couldn't tell. So that's good.
Yeah. Nice, simple little thing to click here and there and then go back.
Right.
To doing
exactly.
What you're doing.
Just a little separate window in the corner. Cause there's all this time where you're like waiting. Oh, I'm processing. Something went wrong with your order. Here, click this button to go back to show times. I went on to, AMC's Twitter page and direct message them and said, hey guys, come on, something's wrong with this. You got to be able to figure this out. What's the point? You're giving us a queue, which is great, but what's the point of the queue if we're still having problems after we get out of that queue? The queue is supposed to, you know, bottleneck everybody so that you get just enough people to buy tickets and make the system work. And if your queue is just, sit there for a while, but then everybody come on in and really F this thing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I messaged them about that and said, seriously, I'm paying for A-list. I'm an A-list because we decided that the closest theater, and it's a nice one, two nice AMC theaters, one directly north of us, one directly south of us, and we are almost dead center in the middle of them. I'm sorry, east of us, north and east of us, but we're, you know, it's equidistant to those.
Sure.
Those are our theaters. They're good. They're comfortable. We know them really well. We know exactly where to park so that when we leave the theater, we have the beeline right to our car that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
We found out, so we do the A-list thing where we pay a fixed price per month and we get up to 3 movies per week. And as long as we see 2 movies a month, we're, you know, those are paid for.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's the sad truth of life
yes.
I found out from other people commenting and doing tests on their page, they're like, well, if you don't use it as an A-list member, and if you pay for tickets, you're getting through the system, you're getting the seats, you know, you want, and you're not getting this error.
Right.
Somebody else even says, if you don't do it as an Entourage order, in other words, the Entourage thing is great because Tina and I have individual accounts. She pays for hers, I pay for mine. But we don't want to have to do the war games, turn the key at the same time. Turn your key, sir, when we buy tickets to say, all right, All right, I'm buying F-13. Are you getting F-14? Okay, you ready? All right, submit, because you don't want to like
be
stuck sitting next to some.
Yeah, you don't want to do that because you'll end up being next to a slob who's going to eat
exactly.
Weird.
Exactly. Yeah, but Entourage lets you tie your accounts together. So she can get tickets on my account. I can get tickets on her account. I just basically say, I'm getting a ticket for me and for Tina. Boom, we get our tickets right next to each other, and she can be off. She can be asleep for all it matters.
Yeah.
In chatting with them and somebody else on their in their replies, it's like, and it even seems to be further problematic because of the Entourage thing. So if I go and I just buy tickets with my credit card and actually pay for tickets, then I get through no problem.
So they're screwing their members though. Then.
They're screwing their members. Exactly. Lame. These are the people who are like, you know, that they're kind of counting on to maybe see a movie every month.
Yeah.
You know, but, or maybe see two to make it cost effective for them.
Yeah.
But it's.
That doesn't seem right because they're your most loyal, dedicated people, right?
They are.
You're going all the time. Even now, you probably go to more movies than most of their members go to movies in the theaters.
Yeah, we make sure that we do take advantage of their thing. As a matter of fact, tonight we're seeing Everything Everywhere All at Once with Michelle Yeoh, the movie that Schleicher was talking about on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I know so little about it. Is it based on a graphic novel or is it just a lot of
hype? No, actually, that's a really good question. Okay. I know it's wildly original according to every review I've read. So I'm pretty stoked.
Like it. Yeah.
Pretty excited. I like her a lot.
I do too. I can't wait to see. She's a crazy rich Asian is what she is. Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, she is. She's a crouching tiger and a hidden dragon at the same time.
Cole Cash says, so what you're saying is that buying tickets as a combo is cheaper, but a la carte is easier. Yes.
Yeah.
That in this case, absolutely.
In this case. Yeah. Here's a case. All right. Yeah. This is the one. Right.
However, buying tickets for everything, or what is it? Everything Everywhere All at Once. I might have those first two words reversed. Yeah. No problems whatsoever using A-List and Entourage. It's just for Dr. Cumberbuns that there was a problem.
So this is hilarious because both these movies are multiverse movies.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hilarious that you're doing that. But also, do you think in some other alternate universe, there's a Brian Ibbett with a mustache and no beard who got tickets no problem through the system that you tried to do?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that AMC and every universe screwed every Brian Ibbett.
Yeah.
There's one with the goatee. There's one with like tattoos all over his face, like Post Malone. There's one with,
that's the madness part, right?
That's the madness right there.
Oh, wow. Look, Everything All Together All at Once, or however you say it, is currently riding at a lovely 97% Rotten Tomato score, 96% audience. Yeah, people seem to really want to see this.
Yeah. Oh, so Terry Z in Chicago asked the right question. Did you just end up buying two tickets, with credit card? No, I stuck to my guns, and I didn't get a seat in the middle of the theater. I think we're on the side or in the back or something. But you know what? These seats, the theaters are big enough. I would much rather not give them additional money to solve their shit problem than just keep hammering on that website until whatever it was, 1 o'clock when I finally got through.
I don't have any good counter to this. I think you're 100% to be submitting this complaint. I think it's a real complaint and it should be honored. Those guys suck. F that. They should fix that for the next time there's a huge movie coming out. Clearly it's just a capacity problem with servers or something. Something's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or they've got some kind of queue issue where, you know, what should happen is when a client logs in and picks two seats, those two seats should be unassailable for the next however long it takes for that person to finish.
Yes. If that was even, that's just me assuming what the problem might have been. It might have even been something like, no, it was just too many people all logged in at once and that crashed the system.
Yeah.
But ideally, A-List, do this. Let us get first pick of tickets for an hour before they go on sale to everybody else. Or give us a separate interface that, that kind of you get to get in line sooner or something like that. I don't know. You do the queue system, but have the queue be shorter for A-List people.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe that. By the way, talking about the two movies, right? Like Everything All at Once and Multiverse of Madness, both being multiverse movies. I was thinking about this yesterday as we were finishing watching Moon Knight and then immediately going into the next episode of Severance that we've been watching.
Oh, yes. Which
we've been loving. Mm-hmm. And how there's kind of a little bit of a, you know, there's the little divisions between the two consciousnesses of the main character in both of those shows and how similar they are.
Oh, interesting. So I haven't started Moon Knight yet, but I...
Oh, don't worry. You'll get to it after Loki.
Yeah, sure. I'll get to it way after Loki. this is one I was going to do for sure on Day and Date, and I didn't do it. So
yeah, I thought for sure you would do that one.
I think I got obsessed with C, and I haven't done anything else. So
yeah, kind of you've been loving that. I would say still watch Loki because stuff that happens in Loki leads directly into Doctor Strange.
Oh, Doctor Strange, yeah. Yes. But it does not. But no. But doesn't lead.
Nothing leads into Moon Knight.
Moon Knight just is Moon Knight.
So far, Moon Knight is his own little island, but who knows? I mean, you know, we didn't know what we were going to get in Hawkeye, and we ended up getting a lot of crossover that we weren't expecting.
Some very unexpected crossover at the end.
Incredible crossover, yeah.
Yeah, that surprised everybody, I think.
Yep.
Well, excellent. I hope those tickets... I'm sorry. The end result is what? You have tickets now or you don't?
I have tickets. I have tickets for Doctor Strange. Okay. Yes. Eventually got them and I didn't have to use my credit card to do it.
And where are you sitting? Where's those?
Here's the funny thing. I can't remember which buttons I clicked where I got through. I'm either like, I know all the seats in the middle. The center of the theater were taken, so I'm on the side or in the back. Definitely not. I never clicked anything in the front two, three rows.
Okay.
No, I refuse. I'll wait and see the movie a week later if that's all that's available.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But anywhere else is probably okay. Those theaters are
anywhere
bad.
Else is fine. There are recliners. Yeah. You're in front of a big screen. There's popcorn. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm glad you held off and got what you needed. I'm glad you not held off. Held in there is what I meant to say.
Held in there. I stood my ground, and I'm not going to give AMC any further money.
No, yes. No more money. You don't get any extras there, AMC. In fact, you should go in there with your own damn popcorn. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Sure. No one will complain about that. I'm sure it'll be fine.
You know, exactly. It's like, I'm A-list. I'm bringing my own damn popcorn.
That's right. You guys screwed me over for 4 hours. Though,
honestly, I can't make popcorn as well as movie theater popcorn. There's some sort of voodoo magic garbage crap that they put in there that's like it's like the 11 herbs and spices that make you crave it for nightly jackass.
Do you think it's the machines there? Like we all
I
just
think it's the I think it's their weird well it's their it's the use of Flavacol.
Yeah.
Which is like their little salt substitute thing. And then I think it's their weird butter machine thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if you had the machine in your house, do you think you could replicate this?
If I had the butter machine in my house, I could probably do it.
Oh, I would love one of those.
Oh, look at this. Here we go. Somebody figured out how to make movie theater popcorn at home. I like how their YouTube is mine movie theater.
Mine
like,
movie theater.
Okay. Yeah. They're going to look the same. It's popcorn.
Yeah, it's popcorn, guys. Like the actual popcorn part is pretty standard.
Where's the outline of the person who did this going...
Yeah, where's the white outline and what giant impact font text? Where's that?
Exactly.
All right. Well, here's another thing real quick. You know, I was complaining about this stupid heater, you know?
Yes, your heater that has two settings, cold and scalding.
Yeah, sun and not sun, basically.
Mercury and Pluto.
Yeah, that's basically it. I get this email kind of out of nowhere from someone with no name, except in his email there's part of it says the other guy. It's all I have to go on.
Oh, okay. The other guy.
Yeah, it's all very X-Files. But he sent me this thing saying, hey, there's something coming to you. And he sent me an oil-based space heater. Now, it's not the kind you have to put oil in to make it work.
Right, but it's got oil already inside it. Like a DeLonghi. Like a DeLonghi, like a circulating radiator, basically.
Correct. It's like, it reminds me of like water cooling in a PC. It's just, you never go in there. Well, maybe you should change the water once in a while, but whatever. The water's just in there and it's circulating. That's how this oil is. Anyway, apparently this is like highly rated. Everyone loves it. He sent me a damn heater. So the problem today is it's cold down here and I haven't hooked it up yet, but I did unhook the other one. So now I'm cold But I'll hook it up. So I want to thank the other guy, whoever the other guy is. I wish I had your real name. You're awesome. Oh. Thank you for that. It was super
nice. It's kind of impossible to thank, because every time you try to thank him, you end up thanking the other guy.
I know. All these other guys think I'm thanking them. You guys can all go away. It's the one guy I'm talking about, okay?
Yeah.
One guy.
I'm thanking the other guy who's the guy, but also is the other guy, but is also the guy.
That's right. Now, quick final note here. Dave wanted me to make sure I mentioned this today. So, we did a big refresh in the Frog Pants store and put a ton of new artwork in there. A whole bunch of new stuff I've been doing over the last year or so.
Oh, that's right. I saw some Wastelanders stuff going in there.
Yeah. So one of them is a bundle for the Wastelanders bundle. It's four. Sounds like a combo. Yeah.
Is it a combo,
it's
Scott?
It's almost like a combo. if you've heard of those, you guys heard of a combo before? May have been a thing you've heard of.
You ever seen combos?
anyway, that one is up there for the ridiculously low price of $15. It includes four of these Wastelander prints. I'll bring it up here so people can see what's going on. Where is it?
Is that because you're using the psychology of making people buy something that otherwise they might not have bought, Scott?
In this case, no. This was my idea, and I was like, I like to do themed. Let's do a themed bundle. Dave says that sounds great. Let's do a theme.
And it is just like we said the fast food places don't do yesterday, which is because you're doing it because you're nice. Fast food places aren't nice. They're not doing combos because they're nice. You're doing this because
I'm doing it because I'm nice. They're pretending to be your friend. I'm your actual friend. Right. Okay. Right. Not your only friend. You're something with the only friend. Anyway. In this bundle, there's this cool dude sitting on a car looking at the sunset, all Mad Max style. You got this baseball guy hitting a grenade. You got this old ice cream truck converted into some kind of war vehicle. And then you got some mech dude. Anyway, these are all drawn by me. And there's an option to have these hand signed by me if you'd like them. They're only $15. Cheap, ridiculously cheap, and they wouldn't be, well, I guess they would be more individually, so it does still go against my combo thing. But I put up a whole bunch of new stuff, these new Ghostbusters prints. If you're a Wario fan, I got one of those. There's a Film Sack print up there now. This Among Us one, everyone wants to see Among Us guys' underwear before and after deal.
Yes.
Some Kirby art. It's a whole Kirby bundle, which includes the gelatinous curb, which is like gelatinous cube, the weird finger-looking thing, him screaming, and then him wearing pants. I actually have Cleo to thank for that design. She sent me something one of her kids did. Anyway, these are all up and on the store. A whole bunch of others, too. I haven't even mentioned if you're interested in the fresh batch of artwork available to you and only to you. You can find it at frogpants.com/store. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Ryan, I think it's time we brought in a guest.
I like this idea a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to happen. Oh, hold on. It'll happen if I remember to type shit, right? Okay, here we go. Now, let's play this song. Oh, that's not it. That's for later. Hey, look who it is. It's our old pal, Amy Robinson, Red Fraggle herself, joining us for a little Read This with Amy. Amy, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. Doing
good,
fine.
Thanks.
I was watching a TikTok you were in this morning. I won't tell you what I was doing, but I was, you know, let's say I was in a private moment. Okay, I'll just tell you. I was on the can.
Maybe you should tell us.
Yeah, I have to clarify. I was on the pooper and I was watching TikTok and one of yours came up and I went, "Oh, there's Amy. I'm talking to her later today." How's that make you feel?
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad people are seeing and hopefully enjoying my TikToks.
Yeah.
And mostly I make those just because something strikes me. Like I have no desire to be a huge TikToker with a huge following or anything. I just make silly, goofy stuff that makes me laugh.
Yeah. You sometimes just got to get that stuff out. I get it. I do that all the time. Yeah. Totally, totally feel that, that need.
Speaking of getting stuff out.
Oh, sweet. Let's do it. What are we talking about?
I, too, would like to lodge a complaint.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. You get a use of this. Lay it on us.
All right. So, Monday, I am in my Real Steps meeting, as I do. And I say to Wendy towards the end of the meeting, I say, "Hey, Wendy, are you coming to Vegas?"
Yeah.
And Wendy says, "I wasn't invited."
Oh, that is some horse poo.
And I said, "What?"
That is such bull crap. I talked to her while she was here. Well, she was here.
She said, I had heard about it through other channels, and I asked Scott about it, and his response was, well, I guess I wouldn't be sad if you came.
That is not what I wrote
and
at all.
I said, what?
No, what I wrote was something more akin to, like, you're always invited to everything ever. There's never not an open invitation for you to come to all the things I ever do. You can come to any of it. So she is taking the piss, as the British say. I'm a bring it up today. She should totally come. Is she coming? I don't know. She didn't tell me if she's coming.
She didn't say. I mean, she made it sound like probably not, but, like, you know, it was, that was funny. And I specifically brought it up because I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to bring this up.
So it was you, right, because Wendy comes on. I also got an email from another real stepper. And they said the same thing, and I didn't know. He goes, someone in there said this. Now I know who said it. So it was you. But no, Wendy can come to anything she ever wants to. What probably is going on there is I'm not formal about it at all, because she's my damn sister. It's like, you know, sure. I'm not going to get formal with Wendy. But today I will reiterate to her on air that she is 100% welcome to come to this and be as much a part of it as she wants to. So there you go. All right. Well, that's a good real step for me to take today. I'll get that going.
There you go. And well, are you doing real steps? Is that rumor true?
Yeah, she wants me to try it next round. So I'm gonna hop in there. Me and Carter are gonna both do it. And
that rules. That's gonna be so fun.
Yeah. Her take on that is that it will be, you know, whenever we promote it here on the show, this way I'll actually know what I'm promoting, and I can actually, like, attest to it or whatever. And I said, well, what if I blow, you know, what if it sucks and I hate it or something? She's like, well, you'll just have to see. So I'm sure it won't suck.
I wish
sure
there was some part of myself that I felt like I could improve so I could do real steps, because there's nothing.
There's nothing there. You're a nothing perfect, there. Like, perfect I am, human being. What do you do after perfection, Brian? Where else are you going to go?
Right, exactly. See, like,
You would just intimidate everybody, Brian, with your, your glowing perfectionism.
Yeah, well, that's specifically what I was just going to say. Like, you know, I'd do real steps, and then at the end of it, I would just turn into a ball of glowing light and ascend into the heavens as the new sun.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is your trip out of here. We should finally get you on that.
I will finally have attained nirvana.
That's right. Infection is what. Wait, that sounds wrong. Yeah, it sounds like
only,
infection.
If only.
Well, all right. Let's get to
infection.
Yeah, I don't know if that works. Let's get to Amy and her reading things and telling us what we should be reading, because that's always fun. Amy, you got something a little older, although it's still weird to say 2003 is old, but it's old. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost 20 years now. It does feel weird, though. You're right. Like, anything with a 2000 in front of it, to me, it feels weird to call that old. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, those things are coming up on 20 years. So, all right. So to lead into that, I have a question for both of you guys.
Yeah.
So speaking of, like, ascending and becoming like a ball of light or whatever. Sure. So at what point, if immortality were attainable?
Yeah.
Would you partake in such, like, if you could just, you know, life is normal, the way it is. And then, and you know, you're in a body, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, your body starts breaking down, or, you know, straight up you die or whatever. And you've got a downloaded consciousness, and you could just get a brand new body. And it's not like taking it. It's not like Dollhouse where you're taking it from somebody else. You just have like a, it's like the Cylons, you know, you've got like a storehouse of extra bodies.
We're not talking like Highlander, you're living forever and you're watching everybody, you know, die around you. But you were talking like, all right, download into a new body, kind of start over and do this whole thing.
Yeah, and is it a new body? Is it like another, you know, is it some 25-year-old dude's body? Like, what body do I get?
It is, it's a new body, but it's not like, it's not some other 25-year-old dude. You're not like stealing a body from somebody else. Okay. It's like a manufactured
25-year-old.
Yeah.
Dude.
But my point is, I'm not a harvested
25-year-old dude.
But I'm not starting in a baby's
form. No. And you have all of your, you know, all your downloaded consciousness, all that stuff.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I think I'd do it for a couple rounds. I think I think if I always had the option to check out after, you know, because who knows? Like, you go long enough and suddenly you're in World War II living in, I don't know, Lithuania, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't count on this.
I don't think you're time traveling. You're not putting yourself into a body and.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
1914.
If it's our future, you know, let's say let's say on Tuesday I go, yeah, I'm doing it. Let's get this new body going. And on Thursday,
then on Wednesday, we declare war against Putin or something.
Yeah, there's like a nuke watch suddenly kicks in and be like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I feel like if there's always the option to check out, then yeah, I'd do it. I'd totally do it. Would you?
That is really interesting. I think I agree. So that is sort of the theme of the book that I wanted to talk about today. It's Cory Doctorow's Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom.
Mm.
And it is what's cool about that book is you can go and you can buy it, but it's also available via Creative Commons. So you don't even have to buy it. You can just download the PDF and read it.
Wow.
He's big on
that. It's great. And it's really fun. There are some hilariously anachronisms in it. Like at one point, pretty early on, he refers to Pleasure Island, which is, of course, no longer there.
this is really connected to the Magic Kingdom, to Disneyland.
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, okay. Yes. He did his research. Yeah. And so it's like it's a futuristic type thing. And these folks are sort of in charge of keeping the Magic Kingdom going and keeping it up to date in the future. And there's a whole subplot where he's trying to protect the sanctity of the Haunted Mansion, all that kind of stuff. Okay. But the bigger plot there is that, and they tell you this really early, so this is not a spoiler. It's in fact, you know, you have to get introduced to this straight away. They're living in a time where essentially you go and you do like a backup process. And if anything happens to you or you die or whatever, you just wake up in a new body and you've got all of your memories up to the point that you last backed up.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, so it's a really interesting thing. And then they also have this option of what's called deadheading, where you essentially put yourself into hibernation until something happens. So if, for example, Scott, World War III was to happen and everything all of a sudden sucked, you could just say, okay, I'm just going to deadhead for about a century. You know, wake me up in 100 years and I'll see how I like things or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. Just back up.
How well are
a zip drive?
Yeah, and who's warding over these zip drives to make sure they're protected and stuff while I'm gone in this book? Or is there such a thing?
Right.
Do they talk about that?
He doesn't really go into it all that much. Although I will say it's part of the plot. So I don't want to spoil too much on that. But yeah, there's a pretty huge element of trust there, right? That like I'm trusting that this situation works and that nobody's going in and tinkering with me, you know, and
editing
that kind
my
of thing.
Data.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And one of the most fun things is that the book sort of almost opens in like the first couple of chapters. The main character gets shot in the face with a penis gun.
Oh,
I'm not even kidding.
All right.
That is exactly how the thing is described. It's an organic gun that looks like a penis.
It's literally. It's good that you describe this because if Scott were to read this, this would be the first thing he'd tell us the next day on the show.
Oh yeah, it'd be the first number one thing out of my mouth would be, hey, there's a penis gun in this. You should check it out.
I mean, that's kind of why I picked it for the show.
I see.
I was like, oh, these guys will love this. There's
yes, that's very it, you know? This very Naked Lunch sort of sounding aspect totally, to this thing. There's a penis gun there for you, chat room. Check it out. Anyway, so what was I going to say? This sounds like the Altered Carbon show.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
But not as dark. Yeah. It sounds like a little less dark.
The interesting thing is that at some point, you know, there's a character in there who's his ability to do backups sort of gets broken. And so then it's unlike, and he becomes sort of, he starts deteriorating and he's like, okay, I could just reboot, but then I lose all of what I did since my last backup.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like trying to, he's kind of, it's a little bit of a mystery kind of whodunit kind of a deal. And he has amassed all of this evidence and he's like, okay, I'm the only person who knows about all this stuff. I don't want to lose that. I'm the only person I trust at this point. I don't want to lose all this information. So it's a really interesting thing when you think about it. It's like, okay, at what point does life become precious because it's finite? You know, I think it's really interesting. It's like, oh, wow, he really started to value his life more after, you know, after it became possible for him to lose something by dying.
Yeah,
you know, when dying doesn't mean anything,
yeah,
then you can just go, like, at one point he tells a story about going, you know, as like a 70-year-old dude playing hockey. You know, and he had like a massive hematoma and died or whatever doing that. And I'm like, well, duh, of course you died if you're playing hockey at 70, but he didn't care.
Yeah, no,
because, you know,
do you ever read Old Man's War by chance?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so that's a John Scalzi book, and it's about it's science fiction. It's about a guy who gets into his late 70s. And if I remember right, and this isn't a spoiler because it's all part of the setup, but he's got some sort of inoperable cancer at that point. And what they do is there's this huge intergalactic war happening all the time outside of Earth. And so what happens is when old people hit a certain age, they can opt into being a part of the war. And by doing that, what they basically do is get their consciousness downloaded to this like perfect 20 something year old body of just like they've never been in better shape. It's like they're, you know, superhuman almost. And then they go off and they fight this war, but they have the wisdom and the experience of a 78-year-old. And it's a trip. I mean, it's science fiction, so it's obviously, you know, I don't know, it's a little more focused on the actual war of the thing, but some of these themes are talked about in there as well. It's really good.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of the, you know, what would I do if I could be young with the knowledge of an old person, you know, like what if I could go back and do it again, knowing then what I know now, you know.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. Question. And Cory Doctorow, famous for, you know, digging into ideas like this and trying to get underneath these concepts and do it in a way that's entertaining, but also make you think. And, you know, he's great. I like that guy a lot. Uh-huh. And he puts his stuff up it's basically open source writing is what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like, really cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay anything for it if you don't want. Now, of course, you know, I'm sure he'd appreciate it if you went and bought it from, you know, a bookseller somewhere. But you can just download the PDF and read it. It's great.
Go check it out. Again, that book is called, oh, shoot, I lost the title. Give me the full title.
Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom.
Nice. And if you're a Disney fan, good luck. I don't know.
And thanks for reminding me about Pleasure Island and how bummed I am that that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious when I read that. I was like, that's funny because it's supposed to be in the future, you know. But that thing didn't last very long at all.
One of the weirdest times I ever had alcohol was at Pleasure Island drinking it from an ice slide in front of like a goofy dance hall or something like that. It was like such a weird juxtaposition. They're selling alcohol and doing a New Year's Eve countdown every night and all that stuff.
When was that? When? How long ago did they get rid of that?
Like in the 2000s, I think. I went there in the 90s, and it was like it was meant to compete with a neighboring, like another thing in Orlando that was Music City. Mm. And it was like a bar where you could go see country music dancing or jazz or, you know, pop, rock and roll or some stuff like that. But it was this paid area, and it's now what Disney Springs is.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's now Disney Springs.
And Universal has like City Walk where they've got like their big karaoke bar.
True. They do that, a similar thing. But you would pay one price and go into this, and it was adults only after a certain time.
Right.
And there were all these different nightclubs doing different kinds of music, and it was Disney-fied. So you had like slowly rotating floors and lights under the floor and stuff like that. It was really cool, but it was so weirdly not Disney.
So in 2015, in 2015, they reopened it in Orlando, but made it part of their downtown Disney. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just
a
little zone.
But does it say when it actually closed? Because I want to say it was like early 2000s.
This for some reason, the article I'm looking at only focuses on the Orlando thing. So I'm not sure about the other one.
It was Orlando.
Oh, is that where you were? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was, but it was a separate park.
Let's see.
Opened in 1989. September 2008, all of its clubs were closed.
There it is. Yep.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Then they got this.
It didn't do very well because it was like, you know, like you say, it wasn't very Disney. And I think it was back when, I think it was before they started like just saying, okay, forget it. Just serve alcohol in the parks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it was that or the, you know, drink beer around the world in Epcot.
In Epcot, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, that those were your choices if you wanted to drink at Disney. And
now so, you get to drink weird cantina drinks in the in on Batuu in Black Spire yeah. Outpost.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. true. They've, yeah. Who knew that eventually Star Wars would be the place they would get everybody drunk? Right, exactly. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, this is a good recommendation as always. Read This with Amy, my favorite new segment of the show. And sure. It's really the only new segment of the show, but still, it's my favorite new one, even though it's the only new one. Anyway, hey, I love having you here. why don't you tell people where they can find you and poke you about your book ideas and stuff?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'm Red Fraggle 3 on all the places, the Twitter and the Discord and the, you know, the TikTok and then all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, my TikTok is mostly goofy things like my dog looking me in the face. Every once in a while, I'll post a puppet thing or, you know, it's a lot of like random thoughts I have when I'm procrastinating getting up in the morning. So you see a lot of my morning bedhead on my TikTok. So if that's something that interests you, come follow me on TikTok.
Yeah, follower. You might be sitting on the can like me this morning and just be suddenly surprised by an Amy appearance. It's totally fine.
Right? There you go. Yeah. Who knows?
Fantastic. It's Amy Robinson. We'll see you soon. Be safe. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know why I said be safe. I don't know why I said that. It's weird.
Be safe. See, be safe. Be safe.
Be safe. All right. Be safe. We're going to do a quick news story or two.
Be best. Sure.
Yeah, be best. I haven't heard that in a while. Hey, look, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
I haven't heard anything from her while I think she's back in her box. Hey, you want to learn where most of your adventure games came from? Play Retro is out, and it goes deep into the history of King's Quest and the legacy it left in its wake. Get it where podcasts are, or by going to frogpants.com/playretro.
Yeah, I'd recommend that. It's we had a really good time talking about that. It's amazing how much influence those games had. Yeah, and it's just a lady and her husband.
It's so crazy. I remember, what was the Grim Fandango being kind of one of the later LucasArts point-and-click style? Because yeah. you're talking about even going back to the pre-point-and-click,
oh, yeah,
right?
We're talking like 86, 85, yeah. even, 84. Yeah. The original King's Quest was a combination of both graphical, and then you had to also do the tech stuff like pick up rock or throw rock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then by the time 4 rolled around, it became, I think it was 4, maybe 5, it became purely point-and-click, but... Those games are so influential, and games like Grim Fandango, I'm not even sure they exist without that stuff. Like,
no, I don't think so.
Dude, Grim Fandango.
I remember Dungeons of Daggerath on the TRS-80 color computer, where you had to even go further. Attack, sword, left hand, and you know, like it was so much typing to fight something that. To kill something was like, this is taking forever because they could keep on attacking you while you're typing shit.
Well, what I didn't know is that King's Quest had a version of the game for the Sega Master System, and it was it was weird. Like you could, so instead of you having to type in stuff, you'd bring up a prompt with a button, and up top would be like 20 words.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you would choose the word that you thought best fit the thing, and you know that in some ways some would say that, well, that's a little watered down. You don't have all the guesswork or whatever, but. I don't know. That seems a little better to me for some reason. Yeah, I would rather,
for sure.
I'd rather play that, I think. But anyway, it was a fascinating chat. If you want to hear me and Dunaway go through it, check it out. Play Retro wherever you get your shows. Okay.
Super cool.
Here's a story. A German man. All right.
Yeah.
He got 90 COVID shots. All right. In his body.
Oh, God. Okay.
To sell forged vaccine cards with real batch numbers. So this is how you do it, right? Like most of the time.
So he got 90 COVID shots.
Right. So he got a thing every time he did it that says here's a valid vaccine card because you got your vaccine. That way he could give those or sell those to people and not have them be sussed out as fake because they are.
He himself didn't receive 90 shots of COVID vaccine in his arm.
No, he did.
He did.
Oh, yeah. He legit did. So here's
he's alive to tell the tale.
He's alive to tell the tale, which I think probably counters a lot of people's idea that the COVID vaccines are going to kill you. But he seemed to be doing just fine with them. So here's what he did. According to CBS News, the name was not being released due to German privacy rules. So they do stuff differently.
Sure.
Allegedly received various shots at a vaccine center in Saxony for months until he was caught by police this month. The suspect was caught after returning to a vaccination center for a shot a second day in a row when the authorities arrived. They confiscated several blank vaccination cards, according to the DPA. According to that agency, the goal is to sell the cards with real batch numbers because he had legit shots, so they were real. They would prevent people who did not want to get vaccines from getting caught with the fake cards. They reported the man They reported that the man was not detained, but he is currently under investigation for unauthorized insurance and vaccination card and document forgery. So he's in trouble either way. But he took a lot of shots, man. He is
full of it.
Yeah, just full of vaccine right now.
His body is now I don't know who does it. That song that goes shots, 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 shots.
He's the living embodiment of that song now.
Of that song, yes. He's the German human equivalent of that song.
So if he's got
everybody,
if I were him, look, I'm not. You know, the vaccines are great. Everyone get them. I don't know if you get 90. So maybe go get that looked at and just make sure you're all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You know, what the end result, maybe nothing. Maybe it's just redundant, you know, because your body's like, all right, well, thanks for the immune. Oh, there's more. Well, whatever. I mean, it's probably redundant is my guess.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it all in one sitting, you're probably not going to die.
Right. But 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. I mean, geez, like.
Yeah. But I kind of want to tell my anti-vax friends, I'm like, hey, did you hear about this German guy? Got 90 of them.
Yeah, you know what their argument is? Well, yeah, it just proves that they do nothing.
Yeah, then they'll use
it's
that.
It's just like getting a saline shot, basically.
Yeah, okay, so get it then if it's just saline. Oh, well, no, because they're putting chips in. They always have a reason, don't they?
They do, yes, exactly.
They always have an effing reason.
There's no telling those people. No, you're not going to.
You can't convince them. What's convince? Look, anybody who puts paints on their car, I will not take your shot and a giant syringe piece of art on their car and their truck. If you've taken the time, money, and effort to do that to your vehicle, I'm not going to convince you of freaking anything.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're too far gone.
You're way too
gone. Far gone down the hole.
Yeah. Like if you went out and got an actual tattoo on your forehead that says, I'm not taking your vaccine, there's no, you're done. Mm-hmm. Everyone stop trying to tell that guy what to do. He's not going to do it. Anyway, that's our news for today. We got a lot more, but we'll save it. For now, we got to get Wendy in here and make some noise about her coming to Vegas.
Make some sweet therapy.
Make some sweet therapeutic noise. That's all coming up in a second, but we need a song. Do you have one?
Yeah, so I'm having a hard time figuring out how to compare this band. Like a little bit, maybe a little Flaming Lips, a little bit... who's the band that the Lumineers, maybe a little bit. It's they're so, I don't know, hard to describe. They are a Melbourne cult pop mystique, is the way they describe themselves.
Okay.
Dorsal Fins, they have a brand new song called Criminal. The rest of the album comes out May 13th on their album Star of the Show, courtesy of Dot Dash Recordings and Remote Control Records. This is the song Criminal. It is not a cover of Fiona Apple. It's a different song called Criminal. So, you know, don't be a bad, bad girl. This is the band Dorsal Fins.
All right. We'll be right back.
Just a story I heard, I swear it's true, but I can't confirm. I've been a warning sign about the deep end and what you'll find. Fishing round and gambling with the things you shouldn't touch or try to give. If you don't wanna catch the curse for life, then don't be dressing for divination tonight.
Girl, They're my favorite.
The Morning Stream. Am I still here? Hello?
All right, we're back. Hey, who is that weird band again?
That weird band you just heard is a band called Dorsal Fins out of Melbourne, Australia. That's their song Criminal, coming out on their brand new album, their third album, by the way, Star of the Show, which comes out Friday the 13th of May.
Friday the 13th!
Friday the 13th!
Oh no! You're gonna get stabbed under the bed while you're with your
girlfriend. By a hockey mask guy.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
Or his mom.
Or his mom. For the whole first movie, you never see
him. Spoiler alert.
I think some people, they may see that first movie and go, wait a minute, where's Jason? Like, this movie's not Jason. There's no hockey mask in it. It doesn't make any sense. But then later it does.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that new one they made? The kind of remake? Okay.
Nope. I haven't seen, the only Friday the 13th movies I've seen are ones for Film Sack. So if we haven't seen it, if we've only seen it for Film Sack, those are the only ones I've seen.
I feel like we should try that one just to see what the modern take is, you know?
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
2013 or 12 or something like that. I can't remember.
Oh, J.C. Calhoun says he doesn't even get the hockey mask until the third film. Really?
Is that true?
I didn't
even
think about that.
Oh, weird.
I thought he had it in the first one, no?
That's freaking weird.
Oh, well, I guess the mom has the hockey mask in the first film,
does she?
Right? Or no, is there no hockey mask?
I thought there was no hockey mask in the first one, but the second one I thought there was. We got to do our research.
Boring.
Oh, this is boring, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Very boring. All right, before we get to anything else here, it's my sister, Wendy, real therapist, comes and does stuff on here and helps you guys with your problems and all that, runs the Real Steps program, which you heard Amy raving about earlier in the show. Apparently, Wendy, are you coming to Vegas? What are you doing? Okay.
I'm not. You didn't invite me.
That's what everyone says. I could have sworn.
I'll invite you.
We have an open door policy for Wendy Dunford. She can come to anything, anytime, anywhere.
You need more. You got to do more than that.
I know that, but she's my sister. Hey. I don't think of these things. I don't like.
My door is always open. Huh? Why aren't the neighbors ever coming over for wine? I told them my door is always open.
Yeah, no.
Actually, Brian, can I read you Scott's words when I said, let me go back.
I'll bet there, he said what he thought he said, which if he said this is just great.
Yeah, let me hear it. I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
I don't remember what I said.
So I was in town and I was talking to your sister and your wife and they're like, yeah, are you coming to Nerd Tech, whatever. No, you don't call it Nerd Tech. What do you call it?
It's just Vegas.
Team is Vegas.
Yeah.
And no, Kim was inviting Misha.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, Kim probably assumed that you and I had all the conversations we'd need to arrange anything that would happen. And so.
Exactly. So I said, hey, Kim mentioned y'all are going to Vegas for TMS. Am I supposed to come? And you said, we're doing the Vegas thing again. You're not, quote, supposed to come per se. But of course, we'd never be sad when you're there.
See, that's my bad way.
You're not supposed to come?
No, my point was, like, I didn't want you to feel pressure that you had to go. Like, that. See, that's me worried that you wouldn't want to go, so I don't want to, like, go, oh, this is probably a whole episode. We could talk about this.
Can I just make something clear? It is snowing today. Like, I am happy to come to Vegas at any point.
You know what? I'm inviting you, Wendy. Please Thank come you, to Brian. Vegas.
Yeah, you're officially invited. You're always invited. This was not me going.
I have a game that I could involve you in that you would absolutely love. Yeah. So.
This is me saying, listen, I can tell you exactly what that text is. That's me going... I don't want her to feel obligated, but I would love it. And chat's right. Words matter. I did a bad job. Okay, everybody. Yeah. I did a bad job.
I'll tell a really quick story. This we went to a restaurant a couple weeks ago. It was me, Tina, and the crazy neighbors. And great Italian restaurant. And we sat down. They brought us bread and the oil and vinegar stuff that you dip in and all that. Yeah. They brought us four pieces. We went through that fairly quickly. And then she came by to say, hey, your food's on the way. Can I get you guys anything else? Do you need refills on your drinks or anything like that? And I said, well, I wouldn't say no to more bread. And I said it like that in a nice little playful way. Right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, you could ask.
See?
And I was saying in a very like, I wouldn't say no to more bread. Like I wasn't saying it like a snotty, like, you know, Karen, like, you know, I wouldn't say no if you were to bring us more bread.
Yeah, I know. That wasn't the way, that wasn't your tone.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But
I love that the wait staff is requiring assertiveness these days. Like,
right? Exactly. So, you know, she walked away
and
she walked away and I said, you know, we should stiff her on the tip. And if she gives us any grief, we should have said, well, you could have asked.
Well, the bottom line is
that we all ate spit that day.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Here are the two truths. Here are the two truths we're going to move forward with. The number one truth is Wendy is always invited to everything she ever wants to do with TMS. The second truth is I should still go out of my way to say, hey, did you want to come this year to this thing? Like, I could have done both
things.
And
for good reason, because I don't listen to the show. I know.
I know.
Of course.
I know. I just take it for granted. So I shouldn't do that. So here's the truth in front of everybody, and it's probably, I don't know what the short notice does, but you're invited to Vegas if you'd like to come. That's it. Sure. We've done it. All so right. Now you can decide and you can, you know, whatever. And then we'll see what happens.
Zoe Brings Bacon is coming through Minneapolis. She could actually just pick you up and bring you with her in a suitcase even.
Yeah.
Totally.
She'll check all you at baggage claim.
A crate. We put you in a crate.
All right. Let's get to today's deal. Okay. We got an email, and this I've actually had for a couple of weeks. Not that we've been avoiding it, but it's time. It's time to read this one. So we're going to get some advice. And I kind of forgot what the context was, but I'll read it and figure it out as I do it. Here it is. Hey, Scott, Brian, and hopefully Wendy. Hey, good news. Wendy's here. I would love and could very much use some advice. I'm an elementary school teacher who has taken on quite a lot this year. In addition to teaching in a public school during a pandemic, I've coached multiple clubs and teams. I tutor kids after school weekly. I'm the vice president of the PTO. What is the PTO?
Parent teacher organization.
Yeah. Is it usually association?
Some places say PTA.
Okay, that's what I was used to.
Like, isn't like Harper Valley say that? They
Got
say
it.
That in the Harper Valley.
Yeah, they do say that in the Harper Valley PTA. And I am taking, I'm taking 4 grad school courses to earn an additional license endorsement. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Recently, I've decided to move to Costa Rica to teach in a school there, which is certainly not where my problem began, but when it became unmanageable. The sheer amount of planning and preparation needed to complete this move, in addition to the emotional toll it has taken, has been difficult. While I do not have a lot of family, and the ones I have are not particularly close to me, I do have a grandmother I care very much about who is not in a great place health-wise. I'm also very fond of my school, my students, and the community I have built. I serve in a Title I school. What's a Title I? What does that mean? Yeah,
that means they need federal funding.
Okay.
Sort of lower income, it's lower stuff like income that. For sure.
Okay. Yeah. It's like that one you were always doing stuff for when you were here. Okay.
That was Title I school.
Where the majority of my kiddos are all in hard situations. There are 2 kids in particular that I'm worried about, and I've had feelings of guilt as I feel on some level I'm abandoning them. This has been a major impact in my sleep schedule, eating habits, both losing and gaining weight quickly. I'm typically only a social drinker. I'll normally have a beer if I'm at a restaurant, but typically I never have any in the house, something that has changed recently. I realize I recognize these as coping mechanisms, but not the ones I'd like to be using. Advice, I believe I could use much of it. I'm a daily listener. I love the show. Honestly, do not think I would have made it through everything the last 2 years have brought had it not been for the daily laughs you guys have given. Keep it up and thank you. Well, that's very nice of you to say.
Aw, thanks.
Is he invited to TMS?
Anytime. Yep. Everyone is, it's all implied. Everyone's invited.
The door to Vegas is open.
Wide open. The gate never closes. Where do you want to start with this? I feel like everybody can feel a little bit of this one, you know, no matter who they are or what they're doing. Cause I can relate to a lot of this, but, I feel like everyone's supposed to be getting out of this now, and it's hard.
Really?
Yeah. I think they feel like they're supposed to. I feel people are supposed to be like, oh, but now's the time we shake off the last couple of years. And we stride out there and, you know, offices are having people come back, and you know, there was a big hubbub over at Blizzard. They were going to have all their employees back, but they were going to stop requiring vaccines, and then they did a walkout, and it's all this big gnarly mess. And anyway, so there's like this weird, like, we're open, let's go.
We all are wounded.
Yeah, we're all a little messed up, and nobody wants to acknowledge it. It feels like we all want to complain about it and talk about it.
We just want to pretend the last 2 years didn't happen and had no effect on us and just keep moving forward.
Yeah. I feel like I don't think anybody listening or here at the table hasn't had some impact like this. So what are you, as the professional here, doing to help people do this, or even yourself? Like, what should this person do?
Yeah, you're right. It feels incredibly universal. And it's actually, I think, the expectation, like you were saying, to, you know, brush yourself up, get going, do some new things, get back to the hustle or whatever, is really a huge part of the problem. It's like any of us, if you're injured, you don't want your ankle to be janky for the next 6 months, but it is. And so you know, you can do things like go too fast. I mean, I think the physical injury example is really apt because we've all been there, right? We've all hurt ourselves somewhat and then go to do our regular life and it's impeded and think, this should be faster or, you know, whatever it might be, right? So I think it's very similar in the sense of there's some emotional wounds and fatigue and burnout and, you know, very little acknowledgement from sort of a lot of sources that could maybe lead the way in acknowledging this, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, every company is going to be a little bit different, but anywhere anyone works, you know, how are they handling this? It sounds like this guy's an overachiever, right? Yeah. Does a lot of things and maybe always can do a lot of things.
Yeah. In perfect times or when everything's great and you're feeling emotionally stable, this is somebody who's very motivated and is doing really cool stuff, making a difference.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Most of us prior to maybe this moment haven't stopped and thought about why we hustle so much. Mm. Like where does that come from? Mm-hmm. I said this to a client the other day, who is a foodie, and her partner is not a foodie. And I said this statement, and I even think I laugh about it now because I don't know if I even thought it through really, but I think it's true. Like, there's no foodie who's not a foodie for a reason, or there's no avid cyclist who's not an avid cyclist for a reason. Like, there's something behind even our hobbies, right? Or even behind our, you know, what we lean towards or what we do. And not to say everything is some damaged childhood reason, but sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Or you're in a culture. Sometimes maybe that wasn't the case. Your childhood was like full of fun and play. And then the adult world requires things of you, will sort of trains you for this. And then here you are flying on a treadmill a million miles an hour. And you've never really thought why. And so I would start just a brief, real quick question to this person of like, what's up with you doing 100 million things?
Yeah.
And speaking as one person who does a million things to another,
yeah,
like, it's not easy to figure this out sometimes. And often it's a treatment for other things. It can be, right? Like, the world's falling apart and I can help these little kids and then I can take this class and I can do this. Like, you can feel this need to do all of these things. And at a certain stage in life, no pandemics involved, you know, maybe that the energy to do so was always there, right?
Yeah.
And so you just have built an identity around it. This is who I am. This is the good that I do. But maybe not sort of feeling the full range of emotions or experiences related to that kind of life. So the saying goodbye to move to another place and do good work somewhere else, you know, what does that grief, is that grief denied, grief delayed? That's some of what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of feelings. There's some burnout and then there's a lot of feelings and he's treating it with things that he would rather not be, like more alcohol, you know, just like coping, managing, handling it all, not emotionally, but by escaping. And that's very, very common. That's also incredibly universal, right? Which is, feels bad, don't feel it, escape it. But I have no time because I have 4,000 things to do to really feel.
Yeah.
So that's an important question. So I'll pose it to both of you. Have either of you, you can plead the fifth, but have either of you taken time to grieve, I don't know, aspects of your life or society or norms or feelings of safety or, you know, like, if you just felt any of that, like the war in Ukraine is this great example of like if you really stop and think about that and not flip to the next thing on your phone that will make you laugh.
News, you know? Article or, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So just generally, do you guys feel like you've done that sometime in the last 2 years?
No, I'm terrible at it.
I definitely haven't. I've basically been saying, that thing on the horizon is when this is all over, and I'm only looking forward to that, and I'm not looking back at what has happened in my life in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I do the same thing with, like, well, I have two questions about this, so I'll get to that in a second. But actually, it's not that different than your invitation to Vegas, to be honest. It's like, I'm nervous. Like, if I wanted to interview somebody, I used to be able to go, hey, Christian Nairn, you want to come on again? Let's talk. Let's just see how things are going for you. Now, if I was to, you know, poke Christian Nairn about his new show, that pirate thing he's doing on HBO, he would absolutely say yes and come on and talk. But I'm having a hard time asking because I don't want to put anybody out right now.
You just say, my Zoom is always open.
Yeah, my come Zoom is always open. You're never not invited to come talk. but honestly, that is what that is. That's what I did with Wendy. I was like, I don't want to bug Wendy. I know she's as busy as any of us. Or I don't want to bug Tom. Or I don't want to, you know, I already had a little bit of this when, like, I would invite big wigs to come to Nerdtacular. It'd be like, hey, Chris Metzen, do you want to come? You totally can say no. You know, I'm having that attitude about it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And really, and then even when he said yes and was like exuberantly, yeah, I'm totally coming, that'd be awesome, I still would be like, does he really want to come? Is this really why would you want to? Like, I do that all the time anyway. But man, is that like turned up to 10.
Turned up to 10 because you yourself feel burnout. You can relate to, like, if a bunch of people started asking you for things You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think that's part of it.
Flip of what you're experiencing.
That's a part of it, because you feel like, well, they probably feel like me, and if they feel like me, they don't want to be bugged right now. You know,
right?
Like, there's a little bit of that. The question I had for you was, like, the war in Ukraine in particular. You said, has anybody taken time to quote unquote grieve over that? And I know what you mean. It's the royal grieve. Like, we're not talking about, yeah, you know, somebody died in your family, but this, like, this bigger kind of grieving. I don't know how to, I think, because all I could do is say, well, that next Fred and Can comic I'm going to draw, Fred's going to wear a shirt that has Ukrainian flag colors on it. Cause that's how I'll deal with it. Cause I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of feel like you don't know what to do about stuff that big that's out of your control. If anything, the last 5 years for me have been me trying to figure out a way to not want to feel like I need to control everything all the time. Mm-hmm. Especially stuff is completely out of my reach. And so I don't, but then I don't, that's not grieving. That's me trying to come to terms with what I can control or can't control, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I guess to answer your question, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure I know how, or I'm as equipped to do it as I can, because what am I actually supposed to do? I gave money. I did, you know, the things you can do for when the Ukraine thing broke out and all that, but what else can I do? I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's the conundrum, right? Because there are lots of people in various positions to do things. A lot of my clientele are connected to international organizations and, you know, the UN in particular and some others where, you know, they are boots on the ground doing the good work and, like, feel the exact same way. So it's like a relative problem, right? Like, because no one can actually do the thing they would hope to do, which is stop the destruction and death. And that, you know, like, I think what can I do is, it's a very human thing to be faced with our limitations and our desires, and they don't match, right? But I think there's another piece to this, and that is, historically, in fact, I was talking to a friend's teenage daughter about news consumption and how she'll have conversations about climate change just walking around with her friends. I was eavesdropping on Abe the other day, having a conversation with friends on the phone about ethics. And if he chooses to go to law school, he has to deal with the idea that he could put someone innocent in jail and vice versa. And how do you handle that dilemma? And I'm like, what the freak is wrong with kids today? Right? They're just so intense. And as we were talking, I joke that I would never have had that conversation as a junior in high school. And the reality is, I had to go find a paper and spend the time to flip through it to have a clue of something to think about outside of the sphere of my control.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas these kids, every minute, have access to everything outside of their sphere of control. So they are in this conundrum as children. What can I do about a thing? And that's why they do such beautiful things, right? Because they're not encumbered by all the other crap you layer on yourself as an adult. And yet they're also just as powerless, right? And so I think this is a universal experience, is our worlds have gotten so big, we can hear about the saddest thing 7,000 miles away that we can do nothing about, maybe send some money, and that's the most we can do.
Yeah.
And then we got to go live our life, and with all the problems that are contained therein, right? So it is, it's extending us way past our limitations, I think. And so, going back to the emailer, I don't know why they're involved in all this cool stuff. It sounds awesome. Like, I'm sure there's lots of positive feedback, like I'm giving right now. Like, that's amazing. Keep it up. We need you to not burn out, please. But I think the same sort of recipe applies, which is, what are we actually doing to manage that this stuff is way bigger and heavier than our psyches are built to handle? And so I know lots of people experience this where they think, well, I can't not know. Not knowing almost feels like a betrayal, right? Yeah. I can't not read about it. That's my way of doing something. And it is a small form of doing something. And yet, sort of you know, all the things around you. And it sounds like this person is literally putting their time and energy to the people around him, to the kids who will grow up to be the adults, you know, like the tutoring and the helping these kids specifically who need these mentoring situations. Like, that is boots on the ground, real stuff that has real consequences in real life in his community. And you run out of steam. And so it's kind of, I feel like, a combo of things. And so I would suggest taking a few hot minutes to think about what his real reasons of doing these things are, right? Some of it may be, you know, I was neglected a bit as a kid. Teachers either helped me or didn't help me. Something that sort of stems back from, you know, how you grew up. And it can be positive or negative. It doesn't have to be negative, right? But just that sort of re-tapping into the fire, right? That what drives you, what motivates you. And then at the same time, which none of us are good at, literally none of us, is to grieve in the moment the things that need grieving. So I recommend, and I've talked about this before on the show, but like scheduling grief, because we're not going to do it otherwise. Right? So set up a time.
Concept.
And
how's 4 o'clock for you?
Well,
you
feel
good about that grieving time. Yes, that's good.
Well, I've got a meeting, but I could do it around 4:10, 4:15. You think we could do it then?
And you just get ready. You get a piece of paper, you get a pen. You start to write the things that you're going to miss. Right? Or the things that you are scared of. The things you wish you had control over, but you don't. Those are all ways to find grief. What you need to grieve. Where you have no power. Where you have concern and no influence, right? And then also, what wonderful things have you built that you have to walk away from in order to go somewhere else and build some more wonderful things, right? Like, it's all good. And sometimes there's bad things in there too, but we have to grieve good things too. Or what happens is it's like the tank just is full and full and full and full till it spills over. And then you're watching like a State Farm commercial and you're sobbing and you don't know why, you know, or you're drinking too much and you're bringing alcohol in your home, which is not a thing you've ever really done before or needed to. And, you know, sort of the writing's on the wall that you're neglecting something.
It saddens me to no end to hear that some kid in junior high is talking about all these adult things and not. When I was in junior high, it was what? Oh, the evening news said something about Iran kidnapped a bunch of Americans. Anyway, get your bike. We're going to go catch snakes by the river.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, are we
Greta Thunberg has just ruined it for everyone.
It's really her. She's the first teenager. Fault.
But are they going to is this going to be good for them in the long run and good for the world in the long run, if you had to predict, or is this going to be bad? Because they are being stripped of those, like, of that carefreeness. Not that everyone has that. Maybe that's part of the illusion problem, but it is. That carefreeness that can be childhood, and instead it's being replaced with nonstop, oh my gosh, my future, the climate, this, that, the other. Like, I don't know. They should have to deal with those things, of course, at some point, but are we stripping them from this, like, joyous time that they should be having? I don't know.
Absolutely. But there's no way around it unless you hide them in a hole. Yeah. And then that you have other problems because you've done that, right? On one hand, it's very disheartening and sad that that's the reality. And then on the other, like, it's kind of going to be amazing. And I don't know how or where or how that's going to look. Yeah. But I also just think it'll shift because it has to. I mean, we're not looking at great numbers at the moment. I mean, you know, kids really struggling with mental health stuff in their adolescent years. It used to be, you know, 1 out of 10 kids would be diagnosed with anxiety or depression. We're up to 4 kids out of 10.
That's a lot.
That is a huge jump.
Yeah.
And for very good reason. Because if you think you have this feeling like, all right, COVID's over, it's time to get back to my, you know, running real fast in the rat race. The kids have the exact same experience with missing 2 enormous developmental social years of their life. Some of them, you know, where they are just like been, you know, they're more introverted. They're a little more nervous. The anxiety's up. It's hard to do the things that, you know, getting back to normal feels like a big stretch. So Adam has had to go back into the office just this last week or two.
Mm.
And you know, we talk about it a lot. Just like, what does that feel like to, you know, is to see people and be around them. And there's like such good stuff that comes from that.
Yeah.
But it's also just taxing. It's taxing to get in your car and drive 20 minutes. It's taxing to, you know, worry about running out of gas again, or it's, you know, like whatever the thing is that, you know, getting dressed, wearing pants, wearing actual pants.
Yeah. Pants.
Takes a lot out of people. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so I think what we're not great at, and we could go through all of the history of the United States of America to show case after case where we do not collectively work together very well. Mm. We can do some things. It has to be short-lived though, right?
Oh yeah. It has to be 9/11 or World War II or, yeah. It has to be like that.
And World War II would have been very different if we had the internet.
Oh like, yeah. Hell yeah.
Like all the things that used to maybe unify required ignorance on the part of most of us and just to see ourselves on one side of a team. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but what that is, that's fight. That's like go to war. That's like rally everyone to action and aggression versus, mm-hmm. hey, everybody, let's talk about how sad we are and let some things go or work through that, you know,
in
whatever.
In some ways, it's antithetical to that rah-rah thing that we do when we all got to go fight. Yeah. So
And that feels good. That is like a tasty snack. Like, yes, anger. Yeah. This is like, can I allow the feelings of change, loss, difference, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. or just even that the before times are gone for you. And they may be other people. I mean, if you think of why there's many people who've been very resistant to things, some of it is just resistant to change, resistant to, I don't want to feel all these things I'm feeling. So everyone else must be losing their collective minds and I'm stable. Like it's about stabilizing ourselves. And so I have this new rule, no matter what you said or did in the last 2 years, I'm giving people, and this is personal. It's not like I have some tribunal for any public figure because I don't give a crap what most of them do or say, but personally, that it's just a free card. Like it, you know, it's one thing if it keeps going, that's a different story. But this is in your height of absolute distress. You said some really janky things that are like, okay, I'm going to take a break. Right. Like I've just found that I don't want to be held to tight account for the way I have handled the last 2 years either, in the sense of, you know, nobody saw that coming in the same and doesn't know what to do with it. You know, like,
you know what else? You know what else we're really bad at culturally is forgiveness. We're pretty bad at that.
Yeah, that's another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I take your point and agree.
Yeah. So okay, point is this: that if we can't do that for other people, guess what? We're also not doing for ourselves that same kind of compassion, right? And that's ultimately what I want the emailer to think about: is how to be compassionate with himself about what is taking place. So. He heard both us, all three of us say, whoa, you're doing a lot. Okay. If you're like, no, I'm not. Okay. That's weird. If you're like, I can do more. Okay. Also weird. Right. Like, mm-hmm. or if you're like, yeah, I am doing a lot. Right. You need some acknowledgement. Like we react to certain things for a reason. You're a foodie for a reason. There is something you are, you know, responding to. Whatever the stimulus is, you're responding to it for a reason. And so it's about just being a little more curious as to that reason. And then imagine this is a friend of yours and they're about to make this big change and they're going to inevitably lose touch with some of these kids who could really use mentors. Like they're going to be heartbroken. How would you treat them? And then flip it. Treat yourself to some of the things you would treat a friend you cared about too.
Yeah.
So a break, number one.
Yeah.
You know, sort of.
A massive bowl of ice cream. No.
Wait, what'd you say?
It's a massive bowl of ice cream, but maybe not. Maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah. If you're having a massive bowl of ice cream or drinking one too many beers, like it's okay. Mm. Right. Like it's okay.
Forgive yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a process. It's temporary. But this is an 8. Hold your breath till you get through it and jump into the next thing and be fine. That's what burnout is, everybody, is that you haven't done any of the things as you go along that you need to do, and then eventually it catches up, right? So this would look like, you know, really giving yourself a chance to be sad about these things, to feel the loss. It will come. It'll maybe overwhelm you during your grief hour, and it will fade, but it's like cleaning out the penthouse. You have to do it.
Do you feel like we're in the do you feel like we're in the middle of the short fuse phase? Because I do. Like,
oh, it's been a long time of the short fuse phase.
Well, true, but I mean that fuse, I feel like it's shorter than ever. I've had more in the last, I don't know, 2 months experiences with friends and family where someone's just at the edge, or I pop off, or Kim's uncharacteristically quick to be mad at the dog or something. Like, just these moments that are like, whoa, this is not us, like, normally. Like, this is we've hit some weird new phase of this where the fuse is like right up next to the big dumb bomb that Daffy Duck's about to throw. Uh-huh. And it's gonna explode in our face, and my bill's gonna go that way.
And it fluctuates with different communities, right? Like, I'm out in Salt Lake and there's not a mask to be found. And then I come back and there's still masks. Half the people in grocery stores are masked and kids are still, you know, like it's a strange flip back and forth of, you know, so every community is kind of at a different pace or doing things differently, or, you know, fuses are different lengths for different reasons. And so, you know, but, you know, within families, I mean, I am home alone today. Do you guys know how long it has been since I'm the only one in my house?
Oh, I love that. I love that feeling.
Strange, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, but there is this, that bittersweet that there always is in life, which is like, oh, I kind of miss everyone. And then the second they're home, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't. Never mind. I take it back. but it's just that sort of like gentleness with your emotional life, right? Like, so, you know, I've often thought when people are just like, oh, I couldn't do your job. And I was like, oh, maybe you couldn't. I don't know. It's that I have had to figure out how to have different boundaries and lines in my life. And you hear a lot of things, you stop thinking they're that scary, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for this guy, he's doing something active to help people who really deserve it and need it and will benefit from it. Like, that is a gift and a calling, and it's amazing. But if you do not take care of yourself and find those boundaries and allow yourself to feel when you need to, you know, you just can't do it. Mm-hmm. It's just not a long-term option. You'll just burn out. And that's, you know, people in any service industry, first responders, lots of folks, you just can't do it forever if you haven't figured out either how to shut your entire emotional system down or learn how to really care for yourself.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
So I'd encourage him to do that.
All right. Well, I would encourage everybody to figure that out if you can.
I agree.
Because we all got some, you know, version of this going on, I think, and I know I do. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I feel like I'm at this place where
I actually want someone who is like, never felt better to write in.
Yeah, who is that person?
Right?
I don't know.
Do you think they exist?
The pandemic was the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Yeah, there's somebody somewhere. Just sheer number says someone's like this. And you know what they are? They're probably
an introvert who, you know, who really likes the isolation and now doesn't feel pressure from society to go out there and be around people and
probably
stuff like that.
Or there's probably some like out of touch, you know, tribe in Central America somewhere where somebody they have no idea any of this is even going on, and they're just happy.
So email us, isolated tribe in South America.
Let us know? We'd love to hear from you.
We'd like to ruin your life by introducing you.
Yeah. Introduce them to all these problems we have. All right. Well, best of luck to this listener. It sounds like you got a lot going on. You also sound like a real cool dude. You're up to some good work. And
for sure.
I think that's awesome.
Use your support system too. I forgot to say that earlier. Just like, you know, rely on your community. You're probably a helper everywhere you go and a doer. And so lots of people congregate around you who like to be helped and done for.
Yeah.
And then there are those who are just as capable as you, but don't know you need it. So you gotta ask sometimes.
Yeah. Ask and then you'll be the person who can, you know, you'll be just that many steps further. So when somebody else is where you are now, they can look to you and find that same support. So we wish you the best, and let us know how things go, especially if you end up in Costa Rica. I'm really curious how that'll go for you.
I suggest we do Costa Rica TMS next time.
Viva go. TMS Costa Rica.
Never been.
Still worked. Viva still works.
I don't think I've ever been. Yeah, the Viva still works because, find us any kind of sort of Latin America, location.
Exactly,
we can put the Viva in there. So there you go.
And really, those paper towels are available everywhere, so we could do it anywhere we want. Viva TMS London what works. We just bring Viva paper towels.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Viva, the brand you know to love or something.
Yes.
Wendy, it's always a pleasure. You're welcome to Vegas. If you'd like to come, just let us know.
We'll not be sad if I'm there.
Yeah, I will not be sad. Yes. No, I will be sad.
I wouldn't say no to Wendy coming to Vegas.
I do this with everybody. Are you sure you want to go? That's how I answer people.
If it makes you feel better, Wendy, he didn't invite me either. I kind of had to invite myself.
Yeah, Brian, I haven't even talked to Brian about coming to Vegas, but I just, I make all these assumptions. Am I even going? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Scott, do you have a plane ticket?
No, we're driving, but we have to because I've got all the swag and everything. We got hotel room. Everything's all set. Yeah. Hey, my wife's involved, so she takes care of all the things that need to have happen. anyway, have a great week, and who'd you tell me? Was it Abe that was talking about lawyer stuff or no?
Yeah.
Oh, was it Abe? Tell
ethical dilemma he's facing at 16.
He needs to go play a video game or something. That's all I'm saying.
No, he's fine. He does.
If he wants to get online, let me know, and we'll work it out.
You'll show him an ethical dilemma.
Yeah, I'll give him an ethical dilemma. Do you save the princess or not? That's what we'll do.
That's it.
Simple. Wendy, have a good one, and good luck. Oh, and realsteps.org, everybody read up on it. It's not open for new people yet, but when it is, you're going to want to check that out because Carter and I are going to jump in this next season. And I guess you don't call them seasons, but whatever they are.
Oh, we're going to call it a season now that you said that.
It's a new phase. I'm looking forward to it, though. It's Wendy Dunford, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Time.
Bye. Thanks.
Now. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I can't find her on here. Why? What's going on?
That's creepy.
That's so funny. Tom never does that.
No, he never does when I lose. Yeah. The problem is I commented in the film sack group and then left it there and then forgot. Wait a minute. Why isn't Wendy on this list?
Oh,
hey, when I do
that. Almost pulled Brian. You almost hung up on Brian and Randy without them even being part of the
game. Yeah, and I can't do that. That would not be cool. That's it for the show. Big thanks. Hey, Brian, how Coverville today? I want to know what's going on there. What are you doing?
Oh, there will be a Coverville today. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Elton John, who looks like Scott's mom, just celebrated his 75th birthday. And so, of course, we've got to have a tribute to Reginald Dwight or Rocket Man or Captain Fantastic. Or was he the Brown Dirt Cowboy? I can't remember. But covers by folks like, Taron Egerton, of course, Mumford and the Sons, Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, Ninja Sex Party, and Kevin Gilbert, all going to be featured on today's episode. Plus, one of the weirdest instrumental versions you're ever going to hear of the song Daniel. You'll just have to tune in to see what it is.
Okay. I'm very curious. His old work, I love all of it.
Yes.
Anything in the 80s, I hated.
Anything post, sorry seems to be the hardest word.
It's just a bad time.
I'm still standing.
I'm still
sacrifice.
Oh, I hate I'm still standing so much.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's like before that, everything is brilliant.
Oh,
and then
for sure. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, and Love Lies Bleeding, and Rocket Man, of course.
They're classic, amazing, incredible songs.
I will say that just about everything, with the exception of a cover of Sacrifice that's really good, everything is early early Elton John. I'll fully admit, I'm not a fan of the song Crocodile Rock. Sorry.
No, not a fan. Don't like that one.
Unfriend me if you want. But,
Fair enough.
But then, Benny and the Jets, Take Me to the Pilot, Tiny Dancer. Yeah. Those are all freaking amazing. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
T-way, I don't know, pack my flight, free fly. How's it go? What's the... My brain just farted.
I can think of the next line. 0 hour, 9 a.m.
Yeah, because I just rewatched the
bags, pre-flight.
Pre-flight. There it is. I just watched that the Shatner thing again, and then I couldn't remember it. That was bad. All right, we're out of here. Patreon.com/TMS. Please support us. We'd love it. We need it. We must have it. If we don't have it, we're done. So get in there. Patreon.com/TMS. Hey, Brian, I can't leave unless I have a song. So you
we really can't. Yeah. And how about something that's 7 minutes long? Is it a Dream Theater song you're asking yourself? No, it's not, but might as well be. Matthew wrote in and said, "Morning, Shy Guy and Bullet Bill. Back in 2020, I changed jobs and got my dream job in accounting. 2 weeks after I started the UK, went into a national lockdown. The end result being my new employer deciding to exercise their right to terminate my contract as I was still in my trial period.
Boo.
The result of that is that I took to cooking addictive chemicals that make people crave my food fortnightly to keep my family clothed and fed. Yes, I worked at a KFC. Yeah. Fast forward April 4th, 2022, and finally I get to go back to my dream role. If you could play my request anytime around that date, it would be greatly appreciated. No more low tea for me," says Matthew.
Nice. Low tea, low tea.
Aww. Yeah. Low T. Yeah. That sentence was very difficult, but I needed to read that almost in Mike Myers' voice, but I didn't. Anyway, his request is Machine Head covering Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden. This will get your blood pumping this morning. Yeah, well. From their album The Blackening from 2007, here is Machine Head.
Thank you. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
And make fart noses.
Yeah, fart noses.